And I'm Amber.
And this is
Waking Up the Witch.
We're your neighborhood witches. Each week, we talk about all things witchy and connect with other humans in a storytelling format about navigating life on this floating rock.
We're two curious ladies trying to understand the human experience. But while we do that, we think it's important to honor the people that lived here before us and honor the cultures and traditions that we're being inspired by.
This podcast is about waking up the witch, which means we are learning and growing every day. That being said, we are always open to feedback on how we can do better.
The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Waking Up the Witch. Now, let's go, ghouls! Hello.
Hi.
I didn't know how I was going to start.
That was kind of aggressive from me.
Hi. We'll say, hey, Curtis.
Hey, Curdy. We got us a new producer.
Again.
Bear with us.
Fifth time's
We're
charm.
Working on it. So grateful. So
no
happy to have him on the team.
Shade to the last two, but I just don't think that a young man in like that's 19 years old really gives a shit about what we're doing. And so
yeah.
I think that this will be great to have Curtis doing it because he does care about us.
He does.
And he keeps having ideas and
he's like our manager now, it feels like. Like he's not just editing, but he's like, hey.
Curtis.
And that's what we've needed.
That we should plug Moonbees, Amber's boutique.
Yeah.
It is also online. Mm-hmm. And so anything that you can get in her shop is all
online. I can
online.
Ship to you in the U.S. for sure.
Yeah.
If so you we live will in another country, just message me. We'll figure it out.
We keep talking at the same time today. You'll figure that out through the episode too. I don't know why I'm the one plugging your business anyways. But
well, we're always each other's best cheerleader. I mean, you're just a good cheerleader, period.
Hey, give me an M. Give me a B. Okay. Anyways, we'll plug it in the link, in the bio, in the description of this podcast that we're doing right now. Moonbees Wellness. If you're local, it will also have all the scheduling options, so you can do that there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I own a witchy boutique, and this is a witchy podcast.
Yeah,
and we're just kind of, you know, we've been amateur in it lately. But now we're professionals.
Yeah. Curtis made it. I'm eating. That's not professional at all.
That's hilarious timing. This is not an ASMR podcast.
Mm-hmm. How's that tofu
or
sound?
A chewing fetish podcast.
Not yet.
Yeah. Moonbeeswellness.com. You can also schedule sessions with me virtually, no matter where you're at in the world. And I have a lot of really beautifully create, like, it's all artist made, creator made. Like, the only thing you're going to find on Amazon that I carry is books and decks because duh. But everything else, I'm like, I curate the shit out of my shop to
it's
support
so
other small magical people and their business. Not, oh, that sounded funny. Small magical people like fairies. Maybe
the
they're fairies.
People.
But yeah, everything's just, it's supporting another small business through my business.
Your
and
laugh
it's so
was
magical.
So loud in my
I'm
ear.
Sorry. My ear's still plugged up, so I can't hear my actual sound.
It's okay.
Which is shitty, but it's fine. Anyways. Moonbeeswellness.com, and you can use the promo code Waking Up the Witch and get 11% off on all services
Hot
and products.
Dog.
Just for you, my dear listeners, our dear listeners.
Hot diggity
yeah.
Dog.
So, sponsored by Moonbees Wellness now.
Ta-da! He thinks I should put my affiliate link to Innersense here. So, if anybody wants organic hair care, my husband's making me say this. We'll
it
put
really
it down
is.
There as well.
The best hair care I've ever used. And I'm not just saying this because you're my yeah. friend. Like it legitimately. And I'm so picky about smells and what goes in my products. And I used to use like really crazy natural shit that just made my hair look crappy. And this this product, InnerSense, everything they make is so beautiful and it smells amazing and natural, and my hair has never looked better.
And it's not some like MLM. It's just the affiliate link that I have for work. Totally. And it's this coming from InnerSense. Still, I just get commission off of it. So
support your witches. We've been doing this for free for 2.5 years.
We also can't figure out how to use Podcorn to get ads. So this is what we're doing for now.
Hey, if anyone out there listening knows how to help podcasters get ads,
or if you want us to do whatever you're selling,
yeah, if you want to be a sponsor,
taking applications,
we're ready to like do bigger and better things, but we need money to do that. Unfortunately, we need those doll hairs that we can put out into the world.
Man. Okay, we have 5 minutes to tell you what's going on because I'm gonna go get fucking blasted.
I'm so excited
with ink, not
tattoo time,
like wasted or anything. But
is gonna be the witchiest, most beautiful, big, gorgeous tattoo by our one of our older guests, Amber Fogel. She's an amazing local tattoo artist.
Cutest tattoo artist ever.
Cutest being. So I'm gonna go with her because I love Amber too. But yeah, I mean, this week I got sick, but my best friend Joey came and surprise visited me, and because we got sick, then he extended his trip from 10 days to 17 days. It was the most magical, amazing time, and that's what I've been up to.
I had a barbecue at my house, and I invited a bunch of people, and it was really fun, and I might have a living situation figured out when I get out of here. And also, I taught a class yesterday, and I was like a little bit mad at the beginning because I feel like the people that needed it the most didn't show up, but I also need to just release control, and if they don't give a fuck about their career, then neither do I.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm not going to talk to them at work because they're annoying. And
you're still boss bitching it up, though.
It felt really good, and I'm really happy I did it and got that experience. And I'm probably going to turn those to some online courses as well. And I just feel
you definitely should. Yeah,
like we got a lot going on, and I'm really excited for the future and growth. And that's all I have to say. And enjoy our guest today.
Wait, hold on. I just want to say happy Pride to all of our.
Oh yeah, queer witches. Something kind of gay.
Go support the community. Give them love. Yeah.
And if you can, support businesses that are run and owned by people in the LGBTQ plus community. Yes. Also, Juneteenth is coming up. Yes. So make sure you're buying from Black-owned businesses as well. Yes. And also, cease fire in Gaza.
Please, goddess.
Sorry if we haven't said that yet. We definitely, that's like where we stand. And I want to make that very clear that there is no confusion. That is where we stand.
100%.
So thank you for supporting us and being good people. And if you don't agree with any of those things, you can see yourself the fuck out of here because you're not welcome. Thank you.
Amen, sister.
Enjoy our guest today. She's super awesome. She posts a lot of funny memes. That's how we found her. But she's also just a really incredible person and has a lot of awesome offerings. And we can't wait to work with her ourselves.
Yeah, I'm so excited for her Kundalini activation.
Okay, we gotta go though. We love you.
Love you. Bye. Bye. Enjoy. Go ahead and start by placing your feet grounded on the floor if that feels good for you, and closing your eyes. And we'll take 3 deep grounding breaths to connect our energy, breathing in through the nose and releasing through the mouth. Another deep breath in and release. One last big breath, the biggest one you've had all day. Breathe in And release. I'd like to welcome in our higher selves and the higher selves of all who are meant to hear this episode. Calling in our spiritual guides and our ancestors and any beautiful guardians that wish to wrap us in love and healing and protection today as we embark on this beautiful conversation. Please allow for whatever is meant to come through to be of the highest light and the highest good for all involved. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for today. It's one of our most favorite ladies on social media. Welcome, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining us on Waking Up the Witch today.
Thank you, Taylor and Amber, for having me. So excited to be here.
Well, so have you excited. Go ahead and kind of introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Yeah. Well, I am Lauren Chavez Gonzalez, also known on social media, as you said, as Moon Body Spirit. What I do, I guess by title, by trade, it's Reiki Master Teacher, Akashic Records Practitioner, Certified Hypnotist, Kundalini Facilitator, right? So more or less. But I think more than those titles, more than those things, it's just in service to humanity in whatever way. Yeah.
Amazing.
In whatever way I can be.
I love that.
Beautiful.
Well, tell us about you. How did you get to be this magic maker today? What's your life been like? How were you raised?
Yeah.
What kind of conjuring were you doing at a young age?
You know, yeah, I think it begins like all baby witches, you know, making the mud pies and
yes,
know, the herbal potions, not knowing at the time that it was hemlock and, like, you know, various other concoctions. But yeah, you know, I was always the one, I think, like a lot of us who felt like the odd woman out, right? The odd, the oddball, the weirdo, the sensitive one. I was called sensitive a lot, and but I didn't really let that stop me. You know, I don't think I could anyway. But you know, I was always just so could easily perceive and read between the lines, you know, what someone was really feeling, what was unspoken. Also the visits at night, you know, were frequent, be it extraterrestrials or otherwise. It was just something that happened quite often. But
can you tell us about that?
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely want to know about that.
It's something that for a long time, it actually created a lot of fear, and the door shut for a while. And then when I connected with hypnosis, I was able to, through age regression, go back and recall bits and pieces of it. And I came to understand through that process that it was connected to a part of my lineage, a part of my soul star system, I guess. These sort of blue beings. But I'm one of those very rare blood types, you know, the RHA negative souls, where, as they say, they're the aliens of the of the earth.
Love it.
But again, I think that just lends itself to more of that. This one's a little different.
So what did that look like as a kid, though?
Yeah. It was light. It was a lot of light, like these tall pillars of blue light. And I felt more than anything a curiosity. But then if I would try to tell someone about it, then it would be shut down. And, oh, that's not real, or you should be scared of that, right? Then the movies would come on and brainwash you further. And but my room was, you could go on the window and kind of sit on the roof. So I kind of remember, like, being like asked to come out there and go, you know, astral traveling in places. And my my walk-in closet, I came to find out much later, was actually a portal and a place where many come and go.
Wow.
So yeah, it was always there. It was always around me. But I think it at some point was kind of shut off for a little bit. It became a fearful thing. And then it became, yeah. Why am I? Why am I afraid of this?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really common. Like, no matter what your experiences are as a kid, whether it is what you're experiencing or just being intuitive and sensitive, you know, spirits coming around, we're taught by the people who raise us and society and the movies that it's we're making it up or it's something to be feared. So I think that's very, very relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where did you grow up, and did you have siblings, and kind of what was your family life like?
Mm. Yeah, I am the middle of four, and we... the country, you know, the very northwest corner of Missouri. And so out there it's quite easy to have some visitations. But
yeah,
family life was, quiet. And you were always, you know, there wasn't a lot of connection. There wasn't a lot of family time. So you were left to your own devices and ways to entertain yourself. And out on a ranch, you could do that, you know. So I would... Mm-hmm. go and be at one with the forest and the trees and the creeks and the animals and the fairies and all of the things. And that's just where I felt most at home and I think most accepted, where I could just be that version of me. So
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was hard because you wanted people to know these things and you wanted them to know, hey, no, this isn't anything to fear. But if someone's not ready to hear it, it doesn't matter how many different ways you say it. They simply can't hear it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there are those in my, like my younger sister has come around and she's kind of stepped into her witchy ways. And I think in some ways almost more than me, she knows more about the types of plants and, you know, botany and so forth, but
connected to the earth magic.
So she's like, oh, you just, oh, that's just nettles and you should take that with that. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of knew that, but yes. but yeah, it was, I think, more just being held by the earth when, there wasn't really the support there. In other ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How, like, were you able to discuss with your parents or guardians at all, or was that just shut down by them?
It was more shut down. You know, it was kind of do what you came here to do, go to school, do your thing, do be the robot in your day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Were they religious too?
Not
as much as some
people. Not as much. Yeah. it was, you know, kind of one of those things where they would go at, you know, holidays or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, so not to that degree of, you know, going to church every Sunday or anything. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we made do.
Yeah. So then I guess, how did you, like, how was your experience like going through high school? Is that when you kind of started to explore things more, or was it after that?
You know, I think, as I'm thinking back here, yeah, high school, I was still that very reserved, like just so very much the observer and just taking it in, and could feel, you know, I'm very much the, I can feel when something is off or a person is being truthful or And that was the same then. And yeah, it was just slowly letting people in. But I think I more stepped into it in my first year of college. And it was, and this is a trigger warning, but I had a friend who committed suicide, and I was the one who found her.
Oh my God, and, I'm so sorry.
It was a lot. It was a lot at the time, and I've since spoken with her. But at the time, you know, you're 18, you are having this experience, and so it can be quite jarring. And so what happened is, I remember I was kind of just processing the event and the details and staying at a friend's house. And I remember, you know, you're not really sleeping much around that type of thing. And, you know, I was, her spirit came into the room, and it was very clear. Oh. It was just like the top half of her body. And she just kind of came floating in and like stood in front of me. And she was trying to say, "I'm sorry." You know, I was furious. And so, you know, I get, you know, screaming at her to get out. And of course that shook up the person who I was staying with. They were like, "Can you see what?" Who's there now? Like, you know, so I think at that point I pretty well had to leave my hometown because it was so much to take in and to process, and that took me a few years to do so. But I think when something is meant to come through, when you're meant to connect with a part of you deeply, it will keep knocking.
Yeah,
and it certainly did. And so I would call that maybe the first knock. and the second knock came around maybe 10 years later. And this was probably another trigger warning, because I think the strongest souls who have gone through the most have a lot of blueprints for people to assist them on their journeys, right?
I totally agree.
Able to hold the compassion for all. But this was an ectopic pregnancy. The fallopian tube had burst. I had lost 5 liters of blood.
Oh my God.
I was pretty well at death's door. Like, I was like, I'm out of here. And what's interesting about anesthesia is it can turn off parts of your brain so that you don't remember these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that worked. However, I wanted to know exactly what had happened, because I knew it was a near-death experience. I knew something had happened, and I was only getting glimpses of it. And again, hypnosis really allowed me to access, you know, these events in my life. When you have certain points that are completely blacked out, you can go back. There is a timing, you know, from a higher perspective, but nonetheless, it was time. And through, again, age regression, I was able to go back and see myself very clearly from a few different perspectives at the same time. So I was simultaneously on the operating table in the ICU, hovering atop the bed. And it was like all of these versions of me at once. And my grandmother, who had passed probably 10 years before that, and she was telling me, you know, "You can go with me, or you can stay." And I was able to see that I was being shown like how certain people in my life would fare if I were to go. Namely, my mom and my sister wouldn't have done very well. And I was really, there was stuff that I still wanted to do. So obviously I'm here. I chose to stay. But,
so many chills.
it was intense for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But through that experience, you know, I was able to clear, a lot of fear around death. I mean, but how can you not when you're there, when you have been in that, really just walking from one room into another
is truly
what it's like. But, and so that was the second knock. And I, at the time I was also in a 7-year relationship that was just going nowhere, that quite frankly should have ended much sooner. But I will say that that relationship was also like, our soul contract was so that it could spark exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring me into the work that I was always going to step into. So
I have a question. So after that experience, what do you feel like your perspective on death like changed to?
Well, I think there was a lot of fear around the unknown or mm-hmm. the pain or what is there after this? What do you do? And I think, you know, there was even a book that I was given from my grandma before she died. I was like probably 10 years old. And at the time it was, I think it was Embraced by the Light. And it's this, it's an account of a woman's near-death experience. Mm, I didn't know then that she was planting a seed and saying, you're going to go through this thing. I'm still going to be here, but in a different way.
Holy shit. So many chills.
And I've since gone back and reread the book, and I've just, you know, it's really been just this, like death is, you know, obviously we want to do what we came here to do, and I believe you will. You know, if you've done everything that you need to do, then I think of it like a graduation. Now it's a celebration. Oh. You're moving into the next. And there are some really wonderful books that also just bring such peace around this as well, which is Journey of Souls by Michael Newton.
Love, yeah.
Just incredible. And also another reason why I got into regression work. But it's just having that knowing that you are so supported and welcomed. And even when I hear people, you never know what you're going to hear in a past life regression. And we take them to the place where they do die in that life. And I have them explain it to me. How do you leave the body? And just, I wish I could share just that, like a book of just that, because it's just so profound and beautiful and graceful, even if the death itself is traumatic. The way that the spirit departs from the body is just like poetry. And, you know, we're all going to do it, you know? So we've all done it before, likely. So it's, I think that experience was, well, I do know, on one hand, it was a karmic cycle that needed to be cleared, and I had reactivated it because the life before this, I had died in childbirth. So, that whole story is interesting because my husband now was my husband then. And so he also has a role within that past life. So it's also beautifully connected. But I think that, it was just one of those things that just helped me to clear a lot of the cycles and of the fear and to step into this work.
From your work that you do now, how are people saying that their soul is leaving the body? Like, what are you hearing the most often?
Some will say, I'm just floating up, or I'm just kind of popping out, or I'm just floating up and away. You know, it's like, I picture like a balloon, just like floating into the sky very softly, very gently. And some souls will, if it is, and we tend to know what type of death we've planned for ourselves, but if it is something traumatic, the soul actually departs more often than not before the actual impact occurs. It's pretty interesting. But, and you know, and I think there's also peace in that because, you know that no matter what, this is, you are infinite. It goes on.
I love that. That reminds me, when I first, I don't do mediumship readings a whole lot for people who have lost loved ones, because it can be, there's a lot of mixed emotions in it for me as a reader. But one thing, the first time I ever did it, and you know, you're trying, you're like trusting yourself to just relay whatever comes through. And that was a question, of course, that the client had was, you know, was he in pain? And I'm a feeler. That's a big way I receive information. Mm-hmm. And I could literally, like, my whole body became like tingly, like glitter. And I could feel the like raise, the lifting up. And I was like, I just feel like so like light and free and happy. And like, you know, that's not necessarily what you want to hear as someone grieving. But it is fascinating. I've had those same experiences with clients as well. And I think it's pretty common. And it's given me personally so much peace also on death, doing that type of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So fascinating. So cool.
Yeah.
You kind of get a little giddy and excited about it, but you're like talking about one of the most dense, trivial things that the human experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're really, I think, created, or I guess we learn to view it as something to fear, to, you know, something so taboo.
Totally.
And I'm now to the point where I'm considering going into, you know, looking at death doula type of, you know, being
it's
there.
It's crazy. Absolutely. I was just thinking that, like, right now, like, before you said it, I was like, maybe she'd be good at that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lovely program at Naropa that is, it's something to do with Master Divinity. But nonetheless, it would be, I would use it to assist others at the end of days.
I mean, it's the only thing that is absolutely certain in life is that we will all die.
This is
true. So I think that there should be some type of acceptance, and maybe people get to that point when they're very old because they, like, have witnessed everyone in your life pass away at that point. But I think if we could come to that acceptance at a younger age, life may be a little easier.
Right. And then I think it, just to go back to my friend who did decide to cut her contract short, I don't, you know, that is also, I think, not the best way to go about a contract, because you'll still have to come back and complete whatever it is you were working on. I know that life can sometimes feel like there are no other answers, but, you know.
Yeah. I lost, my stepdad the same way in 2020, and I have kind of thought the same thing. Like, you have to probably go through all the same lessons again. And it's also a reason to, like, I don't have a better word for it, but like, tough it out in this lifetime, because you're going to come back and do it again. So it's like, you might as well just do it once.
Yeah.
If it's that hard, you don't want to have to repeat it.
Right.
So we'll go back to your story. We kind of tangent, and I love that for us. But we'll go back through after that, and maybe like your third knock, if there was one.
Let's see. So after that experience and healing and that relationship ended, I was kind of like, okay, I've been in this relationship where everything's kind of been decided for me. I didn't really have a say. And I didn't allow myself to either, because it's not, it's not one-sided. I need to also take ownership of that. But I was able to kind of sit there and think, well, what do I want to do? What am I interested in? And so I went on a solo trip out of the country. I went to Nicaragua for a yoga retreat, and then that led me to Reiki, walking the Reiki path. And I think Reiki is a really beautiful doorway. It can lead to so many other modalities and ways of being of service. I think Reiki will always be my first love, but it also, you know, the next door was Akashic Records, and I think around 2020, it was kind of like, I really want to do this. I really want to connect to, I think it's a calling. You're called to that type of work. And so that's just been incredible to access that dimension. And then, of course, hypnosis and Kundalini activation has been even more mind-blowing. And, you know, I say to Knox as if there's a third, and the thing is, we don't want our journey into the spiritual realm to be something that knocks us on our ass and turns our world upside down and breaks the foundation, but in truth, it often is. But I will say that those are when, like, anything is possible and the heart can just burst wide open and be like, okay, I have nothing else to cling to right now. Mm-hmm. What do I want to do from here? And so there's potential, there's possibility there. But the thing is, you know, all my life I've needed that kind of like push off pretty dramatically.
it's like the meme, like my spirit guides pushing me off the cliff and then spirit guides catching you also.
Quite literally. I mean, back to like swim lessons when I was like 10 years old and we're up on the high dive and I'm up there shaking and crying and I'm like, I can't do this. And this big burly woman comes up behind me and she's like, and there I go. And I'm flailing in the air, swallowing a bunch of water, going upside down. Soft landing. All the things. Come back up thinking, how could you do this? You know. But the truth is, that is how I thought I needed to be pushed into the something, into the unknown.
Yeah.
Or into the next realm or phase of life, season, whatever. And I just don't think I need it to be that way anymore. And so, I've really been trying to listen to the little whispers and nudges and even if it's something I really don't want to do, or I'm like, what do you mean? I have to pack up my entire life and go and move to what? You know, it's those type of things. But I think the more that you fall into that with, just trust and knowing that you're supported, again, spirit catching you after they've knocked you off the hill, then I don't want to say it's easier, but to a certain degree, maybe. And that's not to say I don't still have my challenges and my lessons, because I certainly do, right? I'm human just like everyone else. But the after a near-death experience, I just don't know that I would need and of course my spirit guides are like, what's that now? But you know, I am happy with the road that I'm currently walking, because I think I have a lot to share and to assist others in their journey, because I've been there. I've been at the bottom. Yeah,
exactly.
Many times.
And the more you do hard things, the less hard the things become. So it's like, the more you make yourself uncomfortable and you just do it anyways, the less uncomfortable you live in that space.
Something that helps me too, I actually was telling a friend this today who's struggling, like so much unknown, which like you were saying, like the unknown, there's also like unlimited possibility. But for me, like anytime I'm in that like human nervous system freak out, like, what the fuck are we going to do? This is happening right now. I don't know like how we're going to be caught, is remembering to look back on my life of all the times where I was in that same kind of situation where my body was in freak out, fight or flight. And knowing like everything has always worked out.
Yeah.
Like once you have to have your drama moment. You have to kind of like experience the feelings. We don't want to bypass our situation and the feelings that are involved with that. But like once you get through that and you're like, okay, I'm back to trust, then the magic happens. And then the universe is showing up and it's like, okay, I see you. And now here's all the things that you need. It may not be everything that you want, but here's everything that you need. And you're going to be okay for another month. Like, you're not dying. Calm down.
Yeah.
It helps, though, because I feel like everybody, we have so many examples in our own lives of when we've been supported and taken care of.
Mm. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. If only we could remember them in the moment.
Yeah. Right. We have to have our freak out. Yeah. It's part of it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to burst.
So we've heard you talk about a lot of the things that you do and have learned. And a lot of these are probably things that some of our listeners have never heard of. So if we could go through those and have you kind of break those down into bite-sized snippets so that people can kind of get more of an idea of what they mean, I would love that.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll start with Reiki. So Reiki, and there are so many styles of Reiki these days, and I think that's wonderful because you can find the one that you're called to. But I was called to Usui Reiki. I'll make this as simple as possible. I'll say hands-on healing or hands-off, right? Because you can do this to anyone, anywhere in the world if they're willing and open to receive. But it's a style of energy work, working primarily with the energy body, but treats the whole person. And, you know, not something, none of these modalities that I speak of are me as the healer healing you, but rather you as the recipient remembering that you are the healer and allowing the healing to occur. So Reiki's wonderful. I actually pair it with the Akashic Records now. And so it becomes this sort of guided hypnosis journey. And so the Akashic Records, we break down it to Akasha or ether or space, right? All that is. And I think when we hear of the Akashic Records, most people will conjure up the image of the Akashic Library or a soul book. And I think it's helpful to have that imagery, but I think it goes even beyond that. You know, let's say it's a higher frequency dimensional space where through meditation or through a guided journey of some sort, you can receive answers to questions. And this isn't yes or no, right? Because that takes, it's disempowering, takes away your free will. And I think a lot of the times we'll come to guides asking them to tell us what to do. And I think that just does such a disservice to our souls. But so it's more in the way of how, what, or why. You know, I want to know why I keep attracting the same type of person. What is the best way to move forward in this? You know, it's helpful to kind of bring that. Is this going to support my highest path possible or not? And that's not to say there are wrong paths because every path is valuable. We just tend to take the long way around. But, you know, that's also part of it. You know, because I think of it like the GPS, and my GPS, for whatever reason, will take us on a completely, you know, extra 30 minutes of time down a gravel road and, you know, take someone's farmhouse. I don't know. It's weird. And someone else's GPS will say, oh, just stay on the highway and then turn right. And I'm like, you know, but the truth is, I think that is the scenic route, and it holds more value because there may be some symbolism there. There may be some lesson. There may be some beauty there for you to take in. And so,
moments of presence, even
moments of presence. Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey?
I just watched it recently.
That's what I envision Akashic Records looking like when he's like falling through and there's like all of the books. Like every time I think of it, like that's my great brain visual.
That's a really great visual. And I think it's helpful when, let's say, maybe being clairvoyant is not very strong for you, all seeing, because a big part of this work, I think, is coming back to your imagination. And so can you imagine that scene in Interstellar? Can you imagine a library? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's accessing the information that is actually inside of you. We do have the answers. It's just, can you drop in enough? Can you release control enough? Can you go into your heart and open your mind and believe that there is something there for you? Because I think the world is hungry for magic again. Is really, you know, the awakenings are happening rapidly now with the solar flares doing its thing. It's, you know, now every being, even Earth herself, like we're in this space of just rapid expansion. And so in that comes, okay, remembering, maybe I am here to do more than just work 90 hours a week and do my lawn on the weekends or whatever, you know. So it's a beautiful remembering, and the Akashic Records is a space where you can kind of check in. What is my purpose? Although I think purpose is many things. You know, but, and also different to different seasons in your life, you know, it shifts and changes. And I think we'll even break it down into just service, right? But so soul contracts and all of the things, and answers to your questions, meeting ascended masters, keepers of your records, loved ones, you know, they're all in this realm, this time space, this beautiful journey that is available. So I pair this with Reiki in such a beautiful way. And then Kundalini yoga, or excuse me, Kundalini activation. This is a whole different animal. and it's incredible. And again, I have a deep love for the other practices, but this is, again, a soul calling. But, you know, think of Reiki or Kundalini breathwork, yoga, kriyas, things like that. There's an action to achieve a result. Kundalini activation is very much a surrender-based practice. So Kundalini, we think of the serpent at the spine, right? Coiling up. Yes and no. Sometimes we think of tantra, sacred sexuality, sensuality. Again, yes and no. What we're really talking about here is Shakti. And Shakti is the divine feminine field. It's the divine mother. And so what is that? Well, that's creation and destruction. You know, you might think of the goddesses, right? Kali, Aphrodite, Isis, you know. It's that very powerful energy.
Pussy power. And this,
yes. You know, and I think that's forgotten as well. But yes. Again, that's a remembering happening now as well, absolutely. Is that we're remembering this universe that we have, this entry point to the universe. And so, you know, as you activate your Kundalini, I guess I could really just speak to how it has shifted my life over this last year and a half. It's just such increased levels of magnetism and sensuality and just movement and dancing and freedom and joy and pleasure, creativity, right? This is all sacral chakra when we hear it, when we think of it, but it's, it's that just, it's raw, pure Kundalini, divine feminine force. Now that's not to say the divine masculine is not there, because that's very important, right? It's the balancing and the merging of the two. And I think that's the ultimate goal. It's not, I am completely in my feminine and I don't need action anymore, right? Because we need the action piece. But can I relax enough and trust enough and be enough and dance enough and play enough and then take action when I'm guided to? So it's a dance. It's a beautiful, you know, just allowing, I think.
And what does that look like in the service? Like, how are you accomplishing that? How are you activating that?
Yeah, so similar to Reiki, I am the channel for the transmission to come through. So I essentially sort of create a vortex of energy. And this is the Kundalini field. And the person, the recipient, lies down. You listen to a playlist. I create the playlist. It's not sound bowls or solfeggio frequencies, although those are wonderful. It's going to have all sounds and tastes and textures and tempos because it's meant to access maybe something you haven't thought about in a long time, things that are just buried deep in the body, right? Because the body holds mm-hmm. it. The body remembers it mm-hmm. as if it were yesterday and not, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what drew me to it was I knew there was still more being held in the womb space that I was like, this is what I need. And again, it's a calling. So mm-hmm. It has just been just profound in just opening there. And so as you're lying down and receiving the transmission and listening to the playlist, there's certain phenomena that can occur. And this is where it can look a bit wild. If you, you know, Google it or YouTube it, you can see people moving around a lot and things are happening and you're just like, what is going on? And of course, you're going to have the people who are saying, oh, she's possessed and, you know, whatever.
Yes, okay. Of course.
It's the energy coming in. And as it rises back up, it's a gradual rise versus a rapid release because that mm-hmm. can sometimes be dangerous. This is a gradual. Yeah. So the energy will come up against any rigidities in the body or let's say blockages even. And so there can be the spontaneous movement, the involuntary movement, the shaking, the stirring, the arching, the, you know, pulsing, dancing sometimes even, but and then, of course, through the throat, there can be emotional catharsis. So, mm-hmm. and it's really giving space for all of those emotions to be felt and heard and released and shouted and screamed even. So it's whatever the person allows themselves to do. And it's not a one and done, okay, now my Kundalini is activated, but it is a practice that you come to as you're called to it. And there's no peak to reach. There's no, you know, it's just this ever unfolding rose that continues to bring you back to your center, to improve your way of being human, of connecting with others authentically from the heart, and being okay with being seen just as you are. But it
sounds so yummy.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's wonderful. And it's usually an hour long. So you've got, mm-hmm. you're in it for some time.
And is this something that you created, like that was channeled through you, or is it something you experienced and became trained in?
Yeah, something that I experienced February 20-something last year. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, I knew it was an ancient, I had, my mm-hmm. soul knew this work. And come to find out, I receive weekly, I still do to this day. And come to find out, I have accessed it in past lives in Egypt where I was in priestess work. And this was very normal and natural to my spirit. It's ancient within me. So knowing that, you know, it feels like home to me. But yeah, it's in person or virtually, you know, it's the person's willingness to receive. It's very much a dance as well, you know. Yes, I receive.
Sorry, we had a lag for just a second. Oh. The last thing we heard was it's in person, and I assume you're going to say virtual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Virtually, yeah.
Amazing. No,
that's all good.
That's sure magical work.
A lot of our listeners and ourselves are interested in that.
I think that's exciting. Like you're just showcasing, and I think this is important for listeners is like, you know, Reiki is kind of a great doorway, like a gateway drug, if you will, into this type of work. And it really does get blended into everything that then you create or mm-hmm. learn. And, you know, we just... As humans, if you're feeling a calling or if there's an interest, you know, just start to take those leaps, start to walk those steps. And, you know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know everything, but each step is going to lead you to what's next and building on the purpose. The purpose is greater and grander and multiple things. And it's kind of like, for me, I'm like, ooh, what's future Lauren going to be like? What's next? What other magical things will come online for you? Because I think you're in the work you're meant to do, that your soul is being called to. And it's beautiful and powerful and very helpful to people. And I'm sure that's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Yes, me too.
So you mentioned age regression. Is that different than a past life regression? Is that like within this lifetime?
Yep. So past life regression, you are, you know, accessing a past life. Age regression, we are going back from whatever age you are now and then kind of stair stepping back. And sometimes it's, you know, a guided meditation where we're literally going down a stairwell and we're going backwards in time. Mm-hmm. And so we'll stop it, you know, in the intake. You know, your practitioner may ask you, are there certain periods of time that you would like to access that you do not remember? Or maybe there's a memory of a loved one that you really want to go back to. Maybe there's a time you don't want to revisit, although it can be helpful when it's the right time. But, you know, it's so helpful in kind of uncovering just getting the puzzle pieces that you need at just the right time and helping you to kind of put it all together and say, oh, okay, now I see why I went through that thing, or, you know, why this happened this way. And even then, you keep going backwards and you go to your time in the womb, which I think is really fascinating because...
Yeah, I want to do that.
You get to see and experience. You know, the beautiful thing about any type of hypnosis work, whether it's regression or progression or otherwise, you can be in the experience as if you're watching it on a movie screen, or you can be in the body, you know, so it can be such a visceral experience. But so you're in the womb and you understand, you know, what were my parents thinking or feeling, or how did they feel about me being born? What was my birth like? How did my spirit attach to the body, right? What was that like? Because interestingly, it's not immediate. In most cases, you're kind of in and out and observing, and most of them, it's going to be about halfway through or right at birth. So it's an interesting thing, the spirit, you know, it just goes to show this body is something that you have chosen, that you've likely were in a room with your guide and they were like, okay, here are your choices, A, B, and C. Which one do you want? You know, and so you do have some, right? Yeah. There you go.
Add to cart.
But, you know, it's yes, very much. Yes, I want to add on some things, but yeah, it's such an interesting journey to go back through time, and even to be in the interlife space is fascinating, because it's kind of like being. Getting the answers to your life that you've forgotten. And it won't be everything, of course, but it'll surely be helpful things that will, you know, give you the, I think, peace of mind to move forward, or the courage even to keep going, to be like, okay, I did choose this body. I chose this family. I chose these experiences, and maybe I can keep going. And maybe it's going to be okay.
Had a baby about 6 months ago and definitely didn't feel like her soul or spirit was there until she was here. But even just like laying in bed last night, I was just laying there like, I've missed you. Like, I know you. I've always known you. And I'm so happy that like us three are back together again because we're just meant to be.
I love that so much.
I'm making myself cry.
And there's
we really have to get really tissues great book. In here.
The book "Babies Are Cosmic" is what it's called, and I can't remember the author to save my life, but it's more along the lines of that same like journey of souls. It has case studies of these children, or maybe as they're older adult, they go through age regression and they're remembering their time in the womb mm-hmm. and when they connected to the body and all of these things. And I just love, especially younger children, they're able to recall.
Mm-hmm. I can't fucking been. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. To ask those questions. Yes. And be like, who were you? Where were you? Like, mm-hmm. How did we know each other?
She's going to know.
Yeah. I think most of them do know. And I think especially if they really show those signs of their, and I think a lot of the souls coming in now, by the way, are just profoundly like,
oh yeah,
high vibration souls who, mm-hmm. Yeah, are here to do some work. So,
oh yeah. I can already tell.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Have you yourself done a womb regression, either on yourself or have someone guide you?
Yeah, it was part of our training in hypnosis class, mm-hmm. and we, as a group, where we go back to the womb, and I just remember, see, I was a cesarean birth, and mm-hmm. I immediately had to be put in ICU and away from my mom, away from my parents for like 10 days. Wow. And so I was alone in this box, right?
Oh.
Like, with all of these people that I don't know. And so,
beeping sound.
You know, you think about that. Yes, like, what is this? You know, and so that alone holds like unconscious trauma that you may not even know that you're carrying.
Absolutely.
Or where this fear of being alone. But then when you come down, when you really start to do the deeper work, you realize, oh, one of my main lessons in this life was to be comfortable being by myself, to learn to love myself and to give myself that love first before seeking it from someone else. So, you know, I set myself up for some doozies and, you know, I feel like that one meme where it's like, who is it? Somebody reading a paper and I think it's like Winnie the Pooh, maybe. I don't know. Nonetheless, he's reading this like long scroll and he's just like squinting like what? And like someone put, when you're rereading your soul contract and wondering why you signed up for the lessons you did. Nonetheless, absolutely. Sometimes I feel like that where I'm like, what was I thinking? But they've all brought me closer to me and closer to, I'll say essentially love, like the field of truth and
what a gift to, you know, like, yes, you were born and immediately going through this trauma, but the gift to go back and witness it and then understand the why, it just like it creates such deep healing for the trauma experience, where then you can understand like why this was chosen or why this happened to you. And now you get to like go forth through the rest of your life, you know, accepting that love and accepting yourself and loving yourself and nurturing yourself, rather than feeling abandoned or less abandoned, you know? Yeah. And even though you weren't necessarily abandoned, but I could see how that could create that feeling your first 10 days on earth, or, you know, separation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Separation. And then later again, I see you.
Okay. Wow. Absolutely.
Keep it going.
Mm-hmm. So wild. What are some of your, most memorable experiences with clients, like things that have just stayed with you?
You know, I'm always fascinated in past life regression work because I never know where we're going to go, what's going to come up, the hypnosis practitioners won't plant any seeds or place anything upon it. It'll just be answer the questions and we're listening, right? So, one that comes to mind most vividly right now is there was a client who had a pretty traumatic death, and she was recalling it very vividly. She was running through the woods and someone came up and just pointed a gun right at her face. It was like the 1800s or something, and she was, you know, magical and mystical and misunderstood, mm-hmm. you know, and unfortunately, in many previous times, many of us were.
Yeah.
You know, so hearing her recall that and to hear the shudders and like the gasp and the trembling and the tears and to see this like crazy. Vivid response as if she mm-hmm. were just living it, recalling a memory from last week was just bananas, mm-hmm. you know, and going back and because I record them as well so they can go back and listen to it. It was just mind blowing to hear this. Her voice even changed to the age, and it was kind of like this, you could hear the fear and like the little girl, and she was like, I don't know these, you know, I can't even duplicate it, but it was it's just wild because it just speaks to, you know, truly the answers are within, and you can access it when the time is right. And I say when the time is right because I have had clients where they just wanted to come in. They were just curious. They just wanted to know, what past life did I have? Sometimes you can have success there, but sometimes we will get to right about that space when we're just about to cross over into the life, and there will be some sort of roadblock. Maybe the room will suddenly be dark for them, or they will see an actual roadblock, and I'll be like, okay, what does that feel like? What's going, you know? Mm-hmm. Trying to go deeper into it, but come to find out their guides will come forward and say, this isn't the right time. So
get on out of here. Yeah.
And that's okay, because that's why I think it's also helpful to come to things like regression with a question. Have some sort of like desire to understand something about your life, be it, you know, I want to know when I was a witch before. I want to know when I was connected to healing work, or you know, any type of in that vein. But have some sort of idea, or even presenting problem can be helpful. Yeah.
You're in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel like a lot of people local to there are interested in that kind of work? I'm from St. Louis, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Or if like most of your people come to you like online.
You know, I can remember, so I've been in Kansas City for almost 10 years. No. 20 years, maybe a long time. But you know what? I can remember when yoga here was something that not many people talked about. And it would be like, oh, what's that? Oh, I'm going to go to yoga or whatever. It's like, come on, you know. And of course, nowadays it's on, you know, you can, yoga is everywhere. Yeah. And I think slowly but surely there's curiosity.
Yeah.
Still waiting on it for, still trying to build it for Kundalini activation. Of course, that's a, it may take some time, I think. But, you know, but you see it so active, of course, on the coast and you know, even Spain and, you know, various other places. It's just like, yeah, Kundalini activation, hypnosis, all these things. Yeah. But again, I think it goes back to that sort of things that we deem taboo or, you know, the occult, which is really just the thing we do not know or understand. It's the mystery. When you break that down, but it's, I think we'll get there because again, we're at a point of just rapid awakening right now. And I think we, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, as it has been said before. So they'll find me if they're looking for me, or someone else. And that's wonderful, as long as they find it. Yes, and have the courage to pursue it.
I love it.
Is hypnosis, like, are you able to do that virtually, or is there, is it harder?
You know, I think it's almost easier because the person can be in their own familiar space. They can, you know, that hypnosis in and of itself, a lot of the times when it might not work, and I say that with caveat because a lot of it's just give yourself permission to do it. All hypnosis totally. Is essentially help self-hypnosis. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, can you relax enough?
Yes.
But I think having your own space, wearing a little eye mask, your in-ear headphones, mm-hmm. darken your room, you know, do all the things that make you feel cozy and good helps mm-hmm. you to drop in even more and all the faster. So
100%.
I think even, yeah.
Yeah, I have one other question too, and I'm just curious if you've ever worked with a client who literally they close their eyes and they don't see any pictures. Mm. Like that, I forget yeah. what the term is called, but it's actually a thing where people just can't see. It's more of like drop down boxes of options.
Got it. Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, that's where there are a few different reasons for that. And a lot of the times it's fear. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times it's timing. Mm-hmm. But I also want to look at the other ways of experiencing. And that's where I'll bring mm-hmm. them into feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if you could imagine something, what would it be? Because again, it may have been like me, going back to my first experience, when I shut it down, yep. I closed the door, okay? Yep. I just needed to open it again. And that may be true for a lot of people. It's that, it yeah. is, I think we all, it's our birthright. We're all connected to these other realms and beings. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have the experiences, but if there was a fearful moment or two, you're going to mm-hmm. shut it down. And so then that ability to access is just not really there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a revolving door.
Right.
And it's just right there ready for you whenever you are. So a lot of that comes down to, I think, just safety mm-hmm. and helping them to connect to their imagination again. You know, if that is an issue for anyone who's listening and they're like, I just can't see. Practice, you know, get into the imagination, go into like some like YouTube for meditation for imagination, you know, things like that mm-hmm, that help you to mm-hmm. access that side. Or even, you know, getting creative and coloring like you did as a child, or watching mm-hmm. a movie that you watched as a child, like turn on those parts of the brain that believe that magic is real and anything is possible, because
yeah.
that's going to be the entry point.
I love that. I've had a few clients myself who have come to me, and that is a struggle. And that's, I always feel like it does come back to that. And so I was just curious if you've personally experienced that too, because it can be challenging helping them to tap into that. I do have one in particular. She's like so open to it, and she wants it so bad. And she's like, I can walk into a room, I can completely imagine, you know, like decorating it and where things would go. But when I'm meditating, it's black. There's nothing there. I'm like, at least with her, like, I feel like, okay, we are going somewhere. You can vision. But I know someone else mm-hmm. who his brain just, that's how he described it, is drop down menus. Like, you can tell me apple and I have apple, orange, banana, like in a drop down computer way. He's like, I can't picture yeah. it. And mm-hmm. it's so fascinating to me. And he's a very spiritually open minded person. So I've always been really curious, like on a human level, you know, how do you help guide people to trying to unlock that better? So thank you for sharing.
So I think we are kind of coming to the end of this, and we usually do a card pull at the end. Do you have a deck that you would like to use? Nearby?
Ah, yeah. I can do the Magical Spirit for us? Oracle. Yeah. Love to.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this card is titled Breaking Into Bloom. Some keywords here: time, liberation, understanding. This is card number 29. It also says sometimes you will break free before you bloom. So I will.
Wow.
Well, if that is exactly
sometimes what we're talking about. Sometimes you will break before you bloom. There we go.
That is.
You said something exactly like that.
Sounds about
breaking
right.
The concrete.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. The affirmation spell on this card is, my third eye is awakened and my heart is open. It says, Temperance. The red rose has paid you a visit. She is your ally and comes with the gift of grace and patience. She knows what it's like to think the world is ending and then have it begin again, to feel trapped. For the bud must break open before it can bloom. It can be painful and seem long, but you must learn this is the path to liberation. This card has an energy of awakening, self-liberation, and patience. The red rose has mastered these and wants to help you learn them as well. It can be a positive omen that there is something you will soon understand, something that has been troubling your mind and heart, something that you have been trying to figure out, get past, or comprehend. Notice the hourglasses in the artwork. They are on both sides of her, reminding her that time itself is a necessary ingredient in the process of growth and awakening, just as water is. This card can also mean that the red rose has a message for you, that you are or have been in a struggle, but need to trust that it will end up leading you to more freedom and magic. The red rose is your friend and reassures you that sometimes you will break before you bloom. You are on the path of setting yourself free from something. This could be within you, your career, creativity, healing, or your dreams. Notice how the red rose blossoms as an extension of your third eye, your ultimate spiritual center connecting you with the quantum realm. The spirit of the rose is within you. You have the power of understanding what you're meant to. You feel another rose blossoming from your heart, resulting from the awakening of your own self-love during this process. With third eye intuition and the power of your heart, you are sure to free yourself from your struggle. Those are the places you need to be opened at this time. As they say, energy goes where attention flows.
Okay. You should read an audiobook. Your voice is so good to listen to when you're reading.
She's like, yes. Thanks for saying that. Yeah.
You're welcome. What a perfect card. I love that so much.
Yeah. I think I needed that too, actually.
Definitely.
Right now.
Yeah. Thanks for pulling that for us, Lauren.
Absolutely.
We have two questions that
One second. Is there anything that you would like to add before we start wrapping up that you didn't get an opportunity to say today?
You know, I trust that the information that came forth today was what it needed to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we have two questions that we love to ask all of our guests. And the first one is, what is a thing that you do for self-care that you just can't live without?
Every Thursday night at 8:00, I receive Kundalini activation.
Yes.
In devotion, in practice, in keeping up with my own work, in feeling the stuff, in letting it go. So I walk the walk.
Amazing.
Love that.
And if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be? And that could be all the way to childhood, all the way up to even yesterday.
I actually have it tattooed on my arm. And this was in 2008 when kind of I that was kind of reawakened in me to get into the path of spirituality. And I was like, I think it was Wayne Dyer. And he was saying, he was quoting Nis Argadatta Maharaj from the book I Am That. And he said, in my world, nothing ever goes wrong. Mm. And for me, of course, that can sound like, you know, the trite, everything happens for a reason, but there's a lot of truth in that. Mm-hmm. And when you've gone to death's door and you've seen very quickly, very clearly, rather, why things have happened the way that they have, you can see how each thread connects to the other. And that even though the thing that you're in might seem like the worst possible thing, and why could this happen? How could this happen to me? How could this happen to them? Why is this happening to the world? Most of these things are meant to crack us open so that we remember how to love again, how to have compassion for each other again, to break the walls and the spells and the illusions of separation and division, and remember that we are of the same star stuff. And so I, as much as I can, look down at my left forearm and remember, okay, all right, nothing ever goes wrong, fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. I love that so much. How can people find you and work with you, and any little bits about that that you would love to share here at the end to plug?
Yeah, and thank you for this opportunity to be here and to chat with both of you. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
I am on Instagram at moonbodyspirit, and everything that you are looking for is on there in the website linked in the bio. And so that will be signing up for Kundalini activation virtually, the website to book a virtual appointment, any of the classes, which I do have some virtual classes. I have some free ebooks on there, all kinds of things. So my invitation for everyone is, if you're pulled to something, then you'll know it's for you. Follow the breadcrumbs. It'll lead you somewhere fantastic.
Hell yeah. And at the very least, you just get blessed with the most beautifully crafted, created memes on the internet.
Yes, so much fun.
We love it so much. Well, here's the part where we tell our listeners what to do for themselves today. And today, I just want you to go take a moment to be present with yourself. Take three deep breaths in nature and ground into the earth.
Go get a giant tattoo.
But you're afraid of.
That's what she's about to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do after this. Oh my gosh. Okay. Put your face toward the sun.
That's and wear maybe some sunblock.
There you go.
I love it.
Thank you so much, Lauren. This was amazing.
Thank you both so much. So much fun. Good luck on your tattoo.
Thanks. I'm scared.
Yeah. Go jump off that diving board.
Yes. This episode has been produced by my husband, Curtis Burgess.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at
Waking Up the Witch. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email us at wakingupthewitch@gmail.com.
And don't forget to head over to the link in our bio on Instagram for all the ways to connect with both Amber and Taylor. And go to moonbeeswellness.com for all your self-care and witchy needs. We love you. Bye.
Bye. Ow. Ow.